So the big question is this: how are real estate investors who don't have a ton of free time, don't have access to off-market deals, and didn't start life on third base, how do we grow a real estate business conservatively to support our families, finally leave the corporate rat race, and build a legacy? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. I'm Ed Matthews, and this is Real Estate Underground.
This is the Real Estate Podcast Show, number 21.
Hey, everybody. Ed Matthews here at Real Estate Underground. I am really excited today. We're meeting with my friend Heather Douglas. Heather, welcome. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for the invite.
I know we're actually interrupting you mid-turn of a rental unit. So thank you for taking a little bit of time to speak with me today.
Sure. Of course. Yeah. It's springtime. Time to turn over. Time to increase those rents and get them filled.
Exactly. So you and I have known each other for quite some time, and you've been a member of CT RIA for a long time. One of the OGs, I think, right?
And, Yes. Under the old regime, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. What I was hoping to do for those folks that haven't met you, why don't we talk about who you are and what you do and your not so little niche within this space, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. I had kids about 9 years ago, and I decided to be a stay-at-home mom. And when I decided to do that, I wasn't just going to sit on the couch. So in 2015, I, on a whim, went to a CT RIA meeting. And that night I met Joanne, and we sat outside the meeting, and she talked and told me about real estate, and I was hooked. You know, I signed up for the coaching program. I went through that. Ironically, because at the time I had this little one bedroom condo in Vernon, which had been my residence, and then I moved out. I was like, I don't want to do rentals, because if you get bad neighbors in a condo complex, it can make your, even though you have a great tenant, you know, neighbors can be a pain. So I was like dead set against getting rentals. Yeah. I wanted to do flips. And so I went through the classes, and I remember towards the end of the classes, I pulled Linda aside, Linda Baumgartner, pulled her aside. And, you know, because there's people getting deals and getting into it. And I was like almost in tears. And I said to her, why haven't I gotten anything yet? And her reply was something akin to, you know, everybody in time gets their own thing whenever it's right for you.
Right.
Sure enough, within like 30, 45 days, I was negotiating on my first purchase, which ironically turned out to be three duplexes, which were seller financed. I think I put like 2% down and the rest was seller financed, and just went from there. And I now still have those. I've got an 8-unit, which is where I'm working right now, which ironically, when I was going to go buy it, because I bought all my stuff private money, I was talking to Rich about. It's a shame he's not here, but we decided not to work together because we had different goals. I wanted to hold it for a long time, but yeah, it's just going good. My most best achievements, I would say, are my two little kids. So that's what I do all this for.
Well, that's your why, correct?
Yeah, that is my why. Exactly.
Boys or girls, remind me.
I've got a 9-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl.
Best of both. Right on.
Yeah. So that's me. And I take it on the title of what Linda coined, mompreneur.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
I can't say it either.
Because this is not the only business I do. So I've got a couple other small businesses.
So what are your other small businesses? I'm curious.
I do some independent contracting for call centers, but then I'm also, right now I'm gearing up doing affiliating marketing. So really launching myself into, you know, social media is out there, and I just haven't taken advantage of it. So I'm getting some additional coaching in a different market. I'm a huge advocate of coaching and education to blow that up. I've been doing it about 3 weeks. So I'm literally just in the beginning phases of that. So that'll be my next.
Expansion in all ways, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what the wealthy do. Multiple streams of income, multiple streams of passive income.
Even better, right?
Yeah.
No one wants to work for a living.
It sucks.
So let's talk about real estate. When you decided, when that light bulb went off and you went to the CT RIA meeting, what drew you to real estate over all the other things that you could do?
Well, I wanted to start my own business. I looked at it, you know, I have background in sales and marketing. I've worked in insurance, financial products. My parents did some real estate stuff, long-term flips, if you will. They always made money, but it was like a 10-year turnaround. So I kind of wanted to do that. I had that in the back of my mind, but I didn't know if I wanted to be a realtor. I didn't know if I wanted to be a mortgage person. And honestly, that conversation with Joanne, it cemented me in the concept of being a real estate investor. And just as I went to meetings and went through the training, my eyes were opened. I always forged my own path and done what I want to do, but society and education puts you in a box and this is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And as I talk to people and learn more, it was just like, anything's possible. I got somebody to hold a $600,000 mortgage and they'd only know me for a couple of weeks, you know, or maybe a couple months. So it's like, anything's possible.
It is.
But yeah, Joanne was the one that closed it for me.
Yeah, she had that effect on a lot of people.
Linda
was that person for me. So yeah, I hear you. So in terms of your focus, you said you had initially thought of that you wanted to get into flipping and your business has evolved into multifamily and rentals. So is multifamily rentals, is that your focus these days? Do you flip at all?
Well, I did a flip and I made about $900. And I'm a very, as you can see, I'm working at my own apartment. Right. I'm a very hands-on person and stuff I consider simple. Painting, whatever. I put too much time into that flip and you should not do that.
Myself included.
Yeah. I learned some lessons and honestly, I think I did the flip like 17, 18. I stumbled into this negotiating it late 18 and bought it 19. And then 2020, well, I think we all know what happened in 2020. And unfortunately, I just finish my divorce. So the last couple of years have been taking the focus off of real estate because of what's going on. But yeah, it is. I'm happy with where I am on my buy and holds. I'm going to ramp up my affiliate marketing, settle some pre-divorce or post-divorce stuff. But I plan on flipping next year. I'm going to get back into it. I want to start doing one, two a year. I don't have any set goals at this time, but I want to get back into doing that.
Yeah. And make more than $900 per deal.
Significantly, especially Mark Gu, if you know him.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
I think you interviewed him posting, you know, his checks from his flips. I'm like, oh, Mark, darn it. Yeah. I'm like, I got to work with you, buddy. It's a good thing if you do it right. So yeah, I just haven't gotten there.
One check he showed me, and I made him show actually the entire, he walked up to me during, right before a meeting, and he said, hey, I just closed the deal, and I'm really excited about it. I'm like, oh, tell me all about it, right? And he showed me the check and it was $127,000, if I remember correctly. And I said, come to the front of the room. We're going to show everybody this check. Right. And he's like, no. I'm like, no, I'm not giving you a choice. You're showing everybody this.
Right? Yeah.
And so I made him get up in front of, you know, 150 people and tell the story of this deal and how we got it. And then I took a picture of the check and put it up on the big screen. And it was a really cool moment. I was so happy for him. But the other part of it that was really cool was there were 150 people there, and you've been to the CTREA meetings, right? Where there are the people that are headfirst in and they're knocking deals down and they're doing well. And then there are the folks that are like, I'm not quite sure I'm up to this, right?
Yeah.
And I like to refer to them as the dreamers, right?
Yeah.
And to be able to have that experience and see we're regular people. I was not born with a silver spoon in your mouth. I don't know if you come from wealth. And I know Mark doesn't either. Mark's worked for every single thing he has, as have clearly the two of us and everybody else here. But the fact that just regular people can make this stuff happen, it's life-changing, the possibilities. And so, you know, that's kind of the premise of this whole podcast as well is, you know, you don't have to be born with a silver spoon in your mouth to be able to be successful at real estate.
Yeah, no, I've not been in recent years because of, again, what's been going on. But I would go to these meetings and I used to speak in the meetings. So when I would go and not be speaking, people would come up and they'd be talking to me, oh, how do you do this? And it's like these people were coming to me as a source of education and information, like almost mentorship. And I'm like, who am I? You know, well, why are you asking me? Like, because I did it, you know?
Because you did it, right? I mean, we're all I have this philosophy on that. We're all reading the same book, right? Mm-hmm. Except I may be a couple of chapters ahead of you, and you may be a couple of chapters ahead of Mark, and Mark may be a couple of chapters ahead of Abigail. And so Abigail wants to know all that we know, right? And I tell people, I was like, I'm easy. You know, buy me a cup of coffee. And in those 20 minutes, I'll tell you every single thing I know about real estate. Because it's not that much.
And same stuff, different day.
Right. Yeah. It's just, we found a model, we work it and we do it, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And that's the thing that I respect about folks like you, Heather, that you go out there and you make it happen. You bust your hump. No one's painting for you. You're doing it yourself, which I respect a lot, seriously. And nothing replaces hard work, right? Mm-hmm. And that's hard work in terms of educating yourself. That's hard work in terms of getting out there and acting and doing it and making it happen. And then hard work in terms of persevering when life throws crap at you, because everybody's dealing with something, right? That can either get you down or it can be the fire that lights underneath you that propels you into the atmosphere. And clearly you're working the latter, not the former. So
that's yeah. Well, it's to jump in with a little story. So for those who know, last Friday, Michelle Lorenzetti put on an amazing woman's real estate and entrepreneur dinner. And it was, sorry guys, if you were there, you would be jealous. It was incredible. Two incredible women speakers. I met some incredible ladies. There was this lovely young woman. It was funny, actually, ironically, I took my daughter and we were rushing in, and this woman in this beautiful green dress came in behind us. We just came and happened to come at the same time. We ended up across the table from each other, and like personality attracts like personality. Yeah. So I'm probably 10, 15 years older, and not to say anything bad, but there's a lot of people who are the dip their toe in, and you can tell when you talk to them, you're like, oh yeah, this is what I'm doing. But like her and I just connected and started talking. And at one point she's like, you know, because now I'm a single mother, she's like, how do you do that? How did you get in this real estate as a single mother and do that? And it was like a deer in the headlight. I was like, I don't know, I just did it.
Right. Because you have two little kids you have to feed and they require food and shelter and you got to make it happen, right?
I just do it. And then up comes Michelle Shaw talking, she's got eight kids, right. For anybody, and talked about being a mom and being in real estate, and she just illustrated far better than I could. And you just do it. I mean,
Melissa is one of my favorite human beings walking the planet, and she is an absolute force of nature. Mm-hmm. I think she's got about 47 kids, if remember. Yeah. No, I think it might even be nine.
Eight. She said eight. Yeah.
Man, they're the axiom, you know, if you want something done, give it to a busy mother is 100% true, right? Because you drop a guy like, I'll use me, you drop me into a situation where I have to take care of eight kids, you'll find me quivering in the corner in the fetal position, just waiting for my wife or girlfriend or whoever to come rescue me, because that's not something I'm capable of. I hear you on Melissa. She's amazing. And I was equally impressed with Tammy and Lori Ann and Michelle Lorenzetti. Yeah. It's amazing too. So I'm glad you got a lot out of that. That's fantastic.
Buying investment real estate is both thrilling and sometimes stressful. Without a lending expert by your side, most investors don't stand a chance. That's where CTREA Funding comes in. CTREA Funding was founded by investors to help investors just like you fund their deals. Whether you're buying a single family rehab, an apartment building, or really any investment property, our team will understand your deal and help you close quickly. Go to CTREIAfunding.com or call us at 860-876-0572.
People have asked you for advice. I've watched, you know, at meetings when you and I have bumped into each other, people tend to gravitate towards you to ask you advice. But I'm curious about your mentors. Who's given you the best advice over the years?
Joanne and Linda. Seriously, in regards to real estate, I was just toying with the idea of investing in the Carolinas, and Linda's down there. So I shot her a text message and I was just talking to her about market stuff. Mentors, I hate to be shine a negative light on it. I didn't have a lot of good mentors. If anything, my parents are good mentors in certain mindsets, but in others. So I never considered them my mentors. My mom had a lot of negativity, but she also had a lot of good qualities. Like she was a single mother, just persevering, working hard. Her and I didn't have a good relationship, but I think I acquired that. So I can't point to a single mentor, just a lot of along the way education. I got involved with network marketing, MLMs, not my bag, those are terrible. They're terrible, but the education and the positivity that you acquire, absorb in those, same thing with the dinner. Nancy and Michelle, just hearing them speak and, you know, you could feel the power radiating off of them. And it was like, it's stuff I've heard before, but a reminder and a refresher and just being right in that environment.
It's amazing how, you know, you can, even the same person, right? You see them speak at one event and then years later you see them speak again and they're talking about the same basic concept, but you're like, man, I forgot about that, right? I used to do the same thing and I need to get back to doing that. It's like a refresher course almost, right?
Yep. Just being in that environment.
Right. Right. So when you talk about education, are you somebody who likes to read books, listens to podcasts, YouTube videos? How do you sharpen the sword, so to speak?
Well, it's been dulled over the last 9 years. Being a mother kind of just cooks your whole brain. Right. It depends on what I'm into at the time.
Like, what are you into now?
Well, affiliate marketing now. You know, like 3 months ago, I read a book about how to learn foreign languages easier or whatever. I read so much in my 20s. It's like now I just read the casual stuff. Like I read like Nathaniel Hawthorne, Ulysses, all the motivation, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Like I read all that stuff in my 20s. Yeah. So what do I read now? Not a whole lot, because when I'm not going, it's time with my kids. So not a lot of education stuff because I packed it all in.
And when the kids go down, it's time for your chin to hit your chest and actually get some sleep.
Yeah. If I learn anything, it's on the go. I don't have books on my nightstand.
Oh, good. So let's talk about one of your deals then. Let's talk about the 8 family that you have that you're sitting in right now that you're tuning up. You said that was a seller finance deal?
Private money and seller finance, combination of the two.
All right. So walk us through how that happened. How'd that all come together?
Well, this is a perfect model for persistence. And, you know, I would say whatever you're going to do in your life, if you want it, you need to stay persistent. When I first started, one of the things I did was actually, because I live in a more rural area, there's not that many medium-sized multifamilies. So I actually searched up the properties or multifamilies in surrounding towns and sent a letter to this seller of this property. 2 years later, I was like, send out some follow-ups, send it out again. And he called me. This 90-year-old individual called me. And I'm like, why did you call me? Well, you sent the letter to me twice, so I figure you really want to buy it. I'm like, okay. The individual is like 90 years old. He's ready to get rid of the place. And he wanted to sell it for $350, 8 units by $350, 2 bedrooms. I immediately, like, I was like, on the pants. I knew it was.
Right.
Yeah. I wanted to get it done. I didn't care how. I wanted to get it done.
Right.
I also knew I didn't have money. So I had a private investor who I'd worked with before. That individual carried the bulk of the mortgage and the seller did the rest. And I was kind of like freaking out at the end thinking, you know, cause he held like 50. And I'm like, where am I going to come up with 50? Where am I going to come up with 50? And I had this conversation with him and he said something akin to, well, if you can't come up with the 50,000, then I'll hold it. Yes. Right. And that's, you know, yeah. And I came up with that closing cost, which was, I don't remember, maybe 20,000, which in comparison to 350,000 is not much, you know.
Right. But it's still a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it appraised, another train wreck, which I'm not going to get into. I stumbled on this broker who turned out to be a hack. But in the process of trying to refinance this, it appraised. I bought it at 350. It appraised at 490.
Wow.
And that's before I turned over these 2 units I'm turning over now. And if you know anything about commercial financing, it's a matter of the rents. So it will no doubt appraise even more than that once I get these 2 units turned over.
That's a home run. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So I did something right.
You did a lot of things right. So in terms of when you're not doing real estate, and I think you just touched on this, but we're going to revisit it for a sec. When you're not doing real estate or anything in the business world, you know, what are your hobbies other than your 9-year-old and then your 7-year-old?
What's this hobbies you speak of?
Of this hobby of which you speak. I know not.
I mean,
you watch soccer games and lacrosse games and you go to dance and Cub Scouts and brownies and all that, right?
Yeah. I mean, essentially I don't have any hobbies. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've always been business minded. So some sort of personal development, if I'm not doing something with them, if I'm not doing something in one of my businesses, right. I'm just like ready to completely, flip the switch off.
Right.
If I want to flip the switch off, I'm Netflixing or whatever, but if my mind isn't dead, then whatever, you know, right now I'm doing affiliated marketing. So I'm out there working on the social network, which like,
awesome.
Who isn't, but I'm working it. Like I'm not playing that now. I've got a different perspective.
Yeah.
So always working it. Awesome. Always working it.
Hopefully we get you back at a CTRE meeting soon, but if someone wants to get in touch with you to say hello or pick your brain or ask about a chapter you already read in the Book of Life, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The office number, 860.
Yep.
756-0939. My email is info@pqcp-ct.com.
All right.
Or you can find me on social media with HD Pays It Forward.
So always happy to chat. If you stumble upon me on social media, we can chat there too.
Yeah. So Heather, it's wonderful to see you. I haven't seen you since before COVID, so it's nice to see your smiling face again. And I'm glad you're well. And hopefully we get to see each other in person very soon. But in the meantime, thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Take care. Be well.
This has been the Real Estate Underground Podcast, a CTREA presentation. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. If there's a specific topic you want us to cover, post it in the comments. For more information on the Real Estate Underground Podcast or CTREA, go to realestateundergroundpodcast.com or CTREA.com. Until next time, happy investing.